Audiobook. Audiobook release. Podcast. Authors. Narrators. Interviews. Industry. News. Reviews. Sponsored by eaudioproductions.com. Welcome to the Audiobook Release Podcast, a show for audiobook lovers. Stay tuned as we share the latest news from the audiobook industry. We interview established and upcoming authors. We talk with popular narrators and review a wide range of audiobooks. Brought to you by eaudioproductions.com.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the Audiobook Release Podcast. I'm Leah.
And I'm Matt. Our guest today is Michael Naylor, author of The Alchemy of the Enneagram in Transforming Addiction, a guide for professionals helping men recover their lives. Before we jump into our interview with Michael, here's a short sample of the audiobook version of The Alchemy of the Enneagram in Transforming Addiction.
The Origins of the Enneagram. The Enneagram symbol and its origins are unknown, but through a remarkable adventure, a man named George Ivanovich Gurdjieff discovered the symbol at a monastery hidden in the hills of Afghanistan in the early 1900s. Through Gurdjieff, the symbol eventually made its way from Russia to America in 1915. To get a glimpse of this remarkable journey, read In Search of the Miraculous by P. D. Auspensky, or Meetings with Remarkable Men by Gurdjieff. It was in the 1950s that Oscar Ichazo associated the 9 points of the Enneagram symbol with 9 different personality types, and then through the pioneering work of Don Riso, beginning in 1970, that the depth of the types was mapped out.
Wow, that sounds great. I see you're a professional licensed addiction counselor, a certified addiction clinical supervisor, with over 40 years of experience in the addiction field. It certainly seems that you're an expert in the field. But let's go back in time. Can you tell us a little bit about your early days of writing?
How did you get into writing?
Yeah, I started writing, about 40 years ago. I picked up a book called Writing Down the Bones and started doing a daily practice of writing. And I actually ended up writing 2 books that I haven't gotten published or tried to get published along the way. So I put in a lot of hours logging. And then this particular book on the alchemy of the Enneagram and transforming addiction, I spent about 20 years accumulating stories, refining stories until it finally felt like it was a book that was ready to be launched.
And the other 2 books that you wrote, are you planning on publishing those someday?
That's iffy. I've got a fourth book that's close to being edited and finished. So, and that's a memoir, and we'll probably include a lot of what's in the first 2 books.
Oh, excellent. Great. And so you began writing 40 years ago. And what about reading? What sort of influences did you have when reading that might influence your writing?
Oh, gee, you know, there's so many great authors that have written such awesome books, everywhere from Frank Herbert to Asimov to the Dalai Lama and Pema Chodron and Gurdjieff and all of the deep spiritual traditions, books that have come out of Buddhism and Sufism. And so I've really had kind of an eclectic, but a lot of it focused around sort of transformation, but also like Heinlein's books I always found deeply moving, and Vonnegut is another great author, and there's just so many of them. So I've just always had a love of reading.
That's very interesting. So is that related to, say, where you grew up and where you studied?
Well, you know, I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and then hitchhiked across the country to Portland, to Camden, Maine, and basically when I was about 25. So I've been a Mainer since then. And so the location hasn't necessarily been the influence, just mostly tracking my own personal interest. Starting, I think one of the first books that really blew me away was a book called Summer Hill, which is a radical approach to child rearing. And that was followed by a book called The Primal Scream, which is this deeply transformative practice for healing. And all of that led up through, you know, my own recovery from addiction to you know, my work as a counselor over the past 40 years, counselor and coach in the addictions field.
Very interesting. I'd like to hear more about hitchhiking across the country. That sounds really interesting to me.
Well, it was actually safe back then.
Yeah. What did your family say that when you said, I'm moving across the country?
It didn't cheer them up.
No, I bet not.
And like, then what? You didn't come back, right?
Yeah, they were quite shocked, but oh, well, it was a great adventure, and I landed in the state that I really love. So
fantastic.
So you were in college in Oregon?
Yes, I went to high school in Portland, Oregon at Grant High, and I, at that time, was an outstanding athlete, and I got a full-ride scholarship to Oregon State.
Wow.
To play baseball. And I did that for several years, and then I got disenchanted with college sports and all of that, and ended up moving to Maine. And then about 8 years later, I finished my undergraduate in physical education and health education, and then went on for 2 years and got my master's degree in health education. And that's so I kind of split my education between two states.
It's interesting. It sounds like education has been a part of your professional career since the beginning.
Yeah, education with a focus on psychology, for sure.
Well, I bet you have a lot of very interesting stories of people you've helped or people maybe you couldn't help. What is that feeling? You must get deeply personal with patients.
Yeah, well, it's a deeply personal arena in terms of, you know, people are fighting for their lives, trying to get clean and sober in the midst of having arrived with a lot of suffering, trauma from childhood through the legal system and life in general. And so it's an upfront and personal process.
And so then how did your career take off in Maine?
Well, it was mostly a serendipity and a lot of luck. I had I'd been in recovery myself for 42 years, and it just so happened one day I had an opportunity to work at a rehab men's halfway house, and I loved the work, and went from being a volunteer counselor to the head chef to the head clinician over
wow.
the course of about 14 years.
That is wonderful. What a great story.
Yeah. Yeah, met a lot of really fascinating and great men, both young and old.
Well, I'm sure when somebody new comes in, they realize when they meet you that you've done it. Like you've gone through the program, you work there, you volunteered there. You know, they don't just think that you're just somebody who just pulled in a car and said, I'm going to run this place.
Well, they're mostly hoping I'm not a pain in the neck. But yes, those who I think it certainly allows them to relax a little bit as they make that attempt to, you know, to start a sober life. And it's quite a mountainous climb, but with the right kind of support, you know, men make it and women make it. But it's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. So AA was started in Akron, Ohio, which is very close to us. And yeah. Is that part of your thinking?
Oh, absolutely. Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 steps, the whole philosophy. Certainly, it's what got my recovery started. And, you know, it's one of the tools in the tool bag, along with, you know, I've done a lot of other spiritual journeying through Buddhism and Zen Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and what's called essence work, Enneagram work. But all of them really center around, you know, pretty fundamental things, which is tell the truth, be compassionate where you can be, make amends when you've harmed people, and give away what you've been given. And that's the, you know, the primary impetus around all of those spiritual paths, AA and the others, is whatever whatever has helped you it's part of your responsibility to give that away to somebody who needs it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's very good. So let's talk about your current book, The Alchemy of the Enneagram in Transforming Addiction. So what inspired you to write it?
Well, I went through training at the Enneagram Institute, which was one of two international centers, and became a faculty member. And in conjunction with that, I started, you know, really looking at how the nine different types, how they showed up, in early recovery, middle recovery, and really began to see some of the pitfalls that they would, by necessity, have to successfully navigate through support and through their own efforts based on their type. And so part of the work of the Enneagram is, you know, in defining nine types, is really showing an individual that there is a roadmap available from, you know, starting at their least healthy state of awareness and moving up to higher and higher, clearer states of awareness. And that along the way, there are predictable crises that each type will encounter. And, you know, I started noticing that, you know, men would get a good start, maybe 5 years sobriety, 10 years sobriety. And then what AA didn't address in other paths was that, as Bill Wilson would say, you know, alcohol is really based on underlying issues, which really is the trauma and suffering that preceded it. And so the Enneagram really creates a map for how to navigate, how to anticipate the kind of suffering patterns that you're going to have to heal. And just started, you know, it was became a central part of my recovery. You know, I was think I was 15 years sober and I was still really unhappy. And then my therapist said, why don't you read this book by Don Riso called The Enneagram and look at the type four. And I read the type four and it's like it mapped out deeply interior psychological patterns and name them, patterns that were causing my repetitious suffering on a daily basis that I was so unconscious to, I didn't know what to do about it. And so that really liberated me over the next several years in terms of not being taken by my unconscious personality patterns. And I'd noticed that that was true with all the types, that they would get into recovery and then all of a sudden they'd be up against a wall and they would suddenly start feeling miserable and they would feel like they hadn't made any gains. And that's where the Enneagram came in as a support for really showing that they're exactly where they need to be and based on their type, that these are the suggested steps they take to move through this psychological fog or cloud they're in. So, you know, I just found it to be really powerful for people who, whether they were in the beginning or whether they were down the road 30 years, at some point, everybody's going to hit their unspoken suffering patterns. And if you've got the Enneagram on board, you've got a much better chance of navigating it.
That's very interesting, Michael. So you touched a little bit about an Enneagram. So could you explain to somebody who doesn't understand what an Enneagram is?
The word Enneagram means a model or graphic of a type. So the Enneagram is a circle with a triangle in the middle of it and this other thing attached to it called a hexad, the seven-pointed part. Now, what's fundamental about the Enneagram is realizing that there are nine types. And if you're looking at the Enneagram graphic, you'd see nine spots around the circle that indicate, you know, where they're located in the circle. And so ultimately, it's the study of the nine types of personality regarding their strengths and their weaknesses and what their habit of personality is that is so habitual to them, they don't recognize that it's actually causing them most of their suffering. And once they begin to identify that particular type pattern, it opens up a whole new level of inquiry and awareness that can bring some tremendous changes for people.
So your book brings together the knowledge that you learned from that beginning of reading that book, and then also personal stories that you shared or personal stories that in your own life and also with work people that you helped?
Yes, yes. So every chapter is filled with two or three different people who, you know, they're fictionalized people, but it also includes my story within my work with them. So it's very personal accounts, on the ground running experiences that I really felt it was important to start bringing more of the real person into the conversation around types. There's a lot written around the theory, but very few in-depth personal accounts of what people go through. So that's what my orientation is. And my memoir that will be coming forward has to do with, you know, it's the memoir of a type four, navigating the agony and ecstasy of my personality type. And it, you know, it runs, you know, just follows the whole gamut of when I played baseball all the way up until today, and hopefully creating a more personal roadmap for people.
Yeah, it certainly seems when there are stories or personal stories like that, people can really understand it because you can read a book and not maybe understand, but when you read about someone's journey, like you're saying, or the other people's journeys, maybe not yours personally, but people you've come in contact with, that makes you, you know, understand it more and maybe remember it more also.
Yeah. And to be able to see that I'm not the only one who suffers with this idiosyncratic suffering. And so one of the things I did around all of this is I started a YouTube channel where I interview, you know, one at a time, all of the types. I think I've got almost 100 interviews now, and which really does the same thing about going into the individual journey of each type. So it's along the lines of the book.
That's great.
Right. Yeah. And what made you decide on the title of your book?
Just an intuitive flash. You know, I see the Enneagram as, what is it? When we use the word alchemy, I think it's this idea of transforming lead into gold. And so this really, from a psychological standpoint, has something to do with transforming the leaden part of the human personality into, you know, a spacious light of awakeness and awareness. So Alchemy of the Enneagram and how it does that.
So let's talk about the audiobook version of The Alchemy of the Enneagram and Transforming Addiction. It was edited, mixed, and mastered by eAudio Productions. So we also see that eAudio Productions is also publishing the audiobook and made sure that the production was at the industry standard. What was your experience working with Elias and his team?
It was really great. I had a really super reader who was also loved the Enneagram and had a passion for understanding addiction. So it was a perfect match in terms of his loves. And his name was Khalib. He did a beautiful job and felt like really transformed everything that he read. I think Elias and company did a really super job of really kind of purifying the audio. So yeah, I've really been really happy with it and excited. And, you know, it's out on a number of, you know, I think there's something like 20 different formats that you can get the audiobook from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, Spotify. But yeah, just really enjoyed working with him and really felt like, you know, that he really attended to my needs and thought he did a super job.
Excellent. So great distribution. That's fantastic. And a great narrator. That's excellent. What made you think to make your book into an audiobook?
Well, it occurred to me through many conversations with people is that there are people today are more likely to listen to a book than pick one up and read it.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I want this to be put out there in the world, it's got to have an audio format. And so that's what I put it out there for. It's just all those folks that are jogging and listening to a book, or they're driving into Boston from Maine and they got a 2-hour drive. I mean, there's all of that. So yeah, it just seemed like it was really the second piece, the second half of completing the project.
Well, it's nice to hear that you had such a wonderful experience with Elias and his team.
Yeah, I did, definitely.
That's wonderful. So what is the best piece of advice someone gave you?
Don't give up. Is it a question regarding writing the book or just...
That's fine. Yeah, what you just said.
So you could say, don't give up writing and don't give up if you have an addiction, right?
With writing, it's the thing. I remember reading a number of different authors and they say, you know, the last part of finishing a book is it feels like you're carrying a dead body around with you for days and days and it's never going to have any life in it. And all of the inner critic messages that say, give up, this is ridiculous, can really sabotage you. And so, you know, if you're a writer, I would really hope for you that you have people around you who know about this last phase of completing a work project, because what we see in the Enneagram world is you're getting close to liberation, your most challenging psychological patterns will start popping up. And, you know, you just have to keep trudging through it, even though it doesn't feel that good at the end. And I've read a number of authors on Lamott saying, finishing a book, you'd think it would feel great, but mostly you're just so exhausted from doing it, it may be a year before you enjoy the book. But I'm glad I finished it, and, you know, just stay with it and have support around you. Same with addiction. You know, people who recover and are successful usually, most always, have a good support system around them that, you know, has their back when they're going through difficult times. That's where AA comes in, or where spiritual groups, there's Zen sobriety. There's, you know, you have some people have a church group that they want. But you need to have somebody, because the way addiction works is it kind of hides out in the parking lot. And just when you think you've conquered it and you've walked away from a meeting or a support group, your addiction's been in the parking lot learning new ninja skills for wiping you out in a heartbeat. And so if you're not ready for that, you will go down.
Well, we have to think, like you said, the support system has to be just so important in someone's life.
I think it's essential.
But what do you do if you don't have anybody to help you?
Well, you got to go find it somewhere or another. The good news is today, there's so many different kinds of recovering groups that you can join on Zoom. There's more help available than ever. And, you know, with the technology today, I can go to meetings in Ireland or, jump over to Scotland. And, you know, there's just some really powerful free support for people if they want it.
Great.
That is very nice. So, Michael, what do you do when you're not writing?
I'm usually figuring out what the next book I should be writing.
That's excellent. That's yeah. Great.
Well, I do a lot of work. I work as a coach and therapist, and you know, do a lot of coaching with people around the world, which is another gift of Zoom. So a lot of and I also teach workshops on Zoom, and I do them in person. You know, since COVID has passed, I've just started getting out, on location again. So that's a part of bigger part of what I do, and then. I've got two great daughters and a grandson who's the apple of my eye, and a beautiful wife who's been the power behind all of the efforts I've made to get my work into the world. My books would never be published if it hadn't been for her.
Well, it seems like you've had a very, very full life. But what's also interesting, it's not just a full life being you're the center of it. You're helping others. And how important is that? I just think it's a pretty neat path that you chose.
Well, it's deeply fulfilling. It's just the opportunity to actually be able to give away what I've been given is just deeply satisfying. I'm just always grateful for, any moments I have to be a part of people's healing process. And, because for myself, I had to have huge support through my recovery to get where I am today. So it's just to be able to reciprocate is quite a joy.
Michael Naylor, author of The Alchemy of the Enneagram and Transforming Addiction, thank you very much for being with Leah and me today. It was great getting to know you and hearing about your book.
Well, pleasure to be with you. Really enjoyed talking with you, and thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Audiobook Release Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to ensure you'll never miss an episode. We value your opinion, so feel free to post a rating or review. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Audiobook Release Podcast. Brought to you by eaudioproductions.com.